I'm Joe Wood, and I believe.
January 7, 1948. 25-year-old Thomas F. Mantell of the Kentucky Air National Guard is sent to pursue an unknown object flying nearby. Mantell chases the object in a steep climb. Ignoring flight control suggestions to level his altitude, he blacks out from lack of oxygen. His plane goes into a downward spiral and crashes. A few years later, in 1956, Air Force Captain Edward Ruppelt writes that the Mantell crash is one of three classic UFO cases in 1948 that would help define the UFO phenomenon in the public mind. That convinces some U.S. Air Force intelligence specialists to believe UFOs are real.
Welcome to Alien Nation, the show about extraterrestrials and UFOs, asking the question, are we alone? In Alien Nation, I talk to other Earthlings about their otherworldly encounters, and we love hearing your stories, so please get in touch. I'll tell you how to do that at the end of the show. My guest today is the author of the book, You Have the Right to Talk to Aliens, and the founder of The Universe Speaks, Talks to Empower You. Welcome to Alien Nation, Sev Tuck.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Nice to talk to you. Woohoo!
Yeah, nice to talk to you too. Thank you so much. I'm very grateful.
Oh, no, I absolutely. I started reading your book last night.
Thanks.
I thought, oh my God, I have to put it down. I've got to go to sleep.
Thank you. That's a great compliment.
Yeah, but it's. I can't wait to read some more tonight.
Thank you.
All right, let me ask you some questions then.
Okay.
I would love to know about your first encounter when you were 10.
Okay.
And what happened, and why didn't you tell anybody?
From the time I was 10 to 12, I was visited so many times I've lost count. By a being that resembled a human but was a little different,
yeah.
In a spaceship. And each time he would come from a different location, and I would be outside standing, and the craft would come and hover right over me. So I would look up and I would see the bottom of the craft. And it would land, and he'd come down. And it was like seeing a brother. I was so happy to see him, and I loved him.
Okay.
And he was coming just to check up on me, just to make sure I was okay. And the very last time I saw him, or that I have a memory of seeing him, I was with a group of children. And that was the first time I was with a group of kids. All the other times it was just the two of us. And we were standing there together just watching the spaceship go off. And disappear just off into the distance, and I knew, oh my gosh, he's gone, and I was sad, and then I instantly knew, okay, it's now time to do what you're supposed to do. Now at that time I didn't know what that was, and I would pop back into reality, pop back into 3D, and then I would have to get ready, get dressed, and go to elementary school. Why didn't I tell anybody? Well, I've learned not to tell my friends.
Because they'll all think you're crazy, yes.
Yeah.
Like
I didn't tell my parents, I really don't know, Joe, because my parents were really way beyond their time, a very open-minded believers.
Mm.
I don't know. I just kept it inside of me. It could possibly be that at the time I didn't think it was real. I thought it was just, this intense dream. But now I realize that that's not the case. So that was the beginning of me just ignoring. I spent, 45 years just ignoring everything that's happened to me, all the marks that have been on my body and everything, just trying to deal with it by ignoring it, but that does not work.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Maybe you Well, he's obviously has some special connection with you.
Yes, yes.
Because he chose to come and visit you all the time. I think that's great. I wonder what it is. Or do they just choose random people that...
Well, in my opinion, they could choose random people, or they could choose people that are tied to that particular group of entities, maybe DNA-wise.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So interesting. And you had another encounter in 2017.
I had several in between then, too. Yeah. But the one in 2017 that happened here in North Carolina was the one that changed my life. It was the one that made me come out. And it was the best thing I've ever done.
And for the listeners, what happened in order for you to come out and it change you?
Well, it was the nature of the experience. It was undeniable to me. I couldn't hide it anymore. And what happened was, we had just moved here. It was September 2017, almost to the day today as you and
oh
I are talking.
Goodness.
Yeah. In fact, it was the 26th of September.
Gosh.
And we had just moved here from Capitol Hill, Washington, D.C.
Yes.
And so we left that crazy energy to come here in the middle of nature. Everything is laid back. And the second morning, I was in my kitchen unpacking the dishes, and I felt something bite my butt, and it hurt. So I yelled over to my boyfriend, "I think something bit my butt. Will you look at it?" I'm thinking it's some big bug. And he's like, "Yeah, I'll look at it." So I go over to the living room, and I pull my pants down, and I bend over, and he's looking, and he's not saying anything. There's silence. Ooh. And I'm starting to get nervous, and he's not saying anything, and I'm waiting. I'm like, "Well, did a bug bite me?" And he says, "Yeah, and there's also a red X." I'm like, "A red X? Take a picture." And I have the picture in the book, and it was made up of 9 red circles. They look like burn marks. Mm-hmm. It was a little over an inch. And this perfect X, and it shocked me. And when I ran my finger over it, I couldn't feel it. It was flush against my skin, but it was evidently burned into my left cheek.
Oh, my goodness.
And I instantly knew it was the Grays, because I had had communication with the Grays before. Mm. And back then, only 2 years ago, I thought the Grays were evil, and I thought they were bad, and I wanted nothing to do with them. But now I've completely changed my mind. I don't believe that at all. Okay. And so I was scared, and I was really angry, because I'm like, "God, why won't they just leave me alone? They're toying with me. They're doing this on purpose to upset me." So I just told myself, "I'm just going to forget about it. Just like I've forgotten everything else that's happened to me, I'm going to forget about this too." Mm. Well, 9 days later, it happened again. And I came back to 3D. When I come back to 3D, my eyes pop open. So it's like going from sleep to awake in a second. There's no grogginess. It's like your eyes are open and you're 100% alert. It's like you're dropped, just plopped back into 3D. And the memories started coming. I was in a room. They hardly had any furniture in it. It felt really sterile. And I was on this bed. I was lying on my right side on this bed that resembled a hospital bed. And I couldn't move my arms and I couldn't move my legs. And I felt something behind me. Mm. I could move my neck and I could move my head. So I turned around, and right behind me, just inches from me, was a Gray doing something to my back. And we locked eyes. We looked right into each other's eyes. And I describe in my book, it was like looking into 2 pools of black oil. And
yeah,
there was
imagine.
No, yeah, I was scared to death. And there was no communication between the two of us. The other times that I had contact with the Grays, they gave me information telepathically. But this time, nothing. And it wasn't nice and it wasn't mean. It was just totally neutral. And that freaked me out too. And I turned my head back around and then I'm plopped back into 3D reality. And I also knew something that I had never known before in any of my other ET contact. I knew that the room that I had been in was on the moon.
Oh, really? Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. So I'm waiting for my boyfriend to get up and he comes downstairs and I start grilling him. I'm like, did you notice anything weird happened last night? No. Was I gone at all in the middle of the night? No. And then he knew something was up and I told him. And then I asked him the million-dollar question, will you look at my butt? And sure enough, there's another X on the right cheek that looks just like the first X.
Oh, my goodness.
Another red X burned into my butt.
So this was a different entity from the one you saw as a kid?
Yes. The one that I saw as a kid was not a gray. So it was like a morph. A morphed or a version of a human. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you said it had different ears.
Yeah, the ears were slightly oblong, slightly longer, almost like almond-shaped.
Gosh, they're attracted to you, aren't they? I love what you said about in your book about the dimensions. We live in a 3D dimension, but what about your soul? What about your mind? What about your energies, all another dimension, other dimensions? I thought that was great.
Oh, thank you, Jo.
Yeah, I really thought that was really interesting and it really made me think, yeah, she's right. She's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. Much of ET contact happens in a multidimensional, interdimensional fashion. Most of it does not happen in 3D.
Yeah.
And because of this, our minds have a really hard time, or not our minds, but our brains that are so logical, have a really hard time describing this type of interdimensional event. So it describes it as a dream or a hallucination. So there are millions of people having ET contact. A lot of them don't even know it because it's happening in this interdimensional fashion and they're just chalking it up to a dream or their imagination, and it's not. It is a genuine experience. If you have a dream that you can't shake for years and years and years, you know, you had these so-called dreams where you wake up and you can't believe you just woke up. You're like, what? I thought my dream was reality. I can't believe that was a dream. Yeah.
I've had many dreams where I've been, well, one particular dream that I'm flying in a boat that has wings, and it was so real. And I was looking down, seeing all these organic fields. For some reason, I knew it was all organic. And I had that never been able to, that's never left me. And the other one is when I can breathe out and make myself move up to the up and up higher and higher in the sky. So,
like you're flying.
Yes, but it happens when I breathe. Breathe out and I go up, and I breathe out and I go up. But that's never left me.
Yeah. So chances are those are real experiences. When we go to sleep at night, we're not just sleeping. Yes, there are dreams that are just dreams, but we also travel.
Yeah.
We travel to other dimensions and we communicate with other beings.
Yeah.
And these are legitimate travels. I call them night travels. But it doesn't happen only when we sleep. It happens in the middle of the day, too, especially when you meditate. Meditate is a great way to travel and enter time zones or different time warps.
Yeah, I love to meditate. Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah, it's really
important.
Do you
see things and travel?
Yeah, I've traveled. I've seen a sad planet. I want to heal it. You know, that sort of thing.
Was it Earth?
Yeah, it was Earth. I think it was Earth. Yeah.
Oh, so you saw the future of Earth?
Yeah. You know, your last contact was in 2017. Are you still contacted a lot in the last couple of years?
Actually, I had a very interesting contact in March of this year.
Yeah.
And that was interesting because I had this experience at the same time my friend who lives in Florida, both of us had the same experience and saw the same beings. And we also had scratches on our arms. And the beings I saw were different. It was this white being that was about 3 to 4 feet tall, and it glowed like a light bulb. And with it was this four-legged creature. It resembled a dog, and that was also white. And I have drawings of this experience. I call it the white dog encounter. I have a YouTube channel called Alien Spirit TV, and I made a video about this with drawings. I really hadn't heard about anybody seeing a four-legged ET that looks like a dog. And then after my experience, I was talking with Chris Bledsoe, who also lives in North Carolina, and he had an amazing experience, Joe. In fact, they're going to make a movie out of his experience.
Really?
Chris Bledsoe, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. And he also saw a four-legged being. Yeah. And I'm like, and he saw the white being that I saw. And I found that interesting. They travel together, and I think they're different versions of each other.
How interesting is that?
And they also travel with another tall blue being. And I've also communicated with the blue beings in the middle of the day while I was wide awake, Joe. Mm. They just came into the living room.
Oh my God.
And
so what do they say?
What
do they tell you? Do they give you any sort of good information how we can heal ourselves or how we can change the world? Or, you know, are they concerned what we're doing on our planet?
Yes. That's why they're communicating with millions of us. Mm. For instance, the blue ones that walked into my living room in the middle of the day, they were telling me about Tchaikovsky and Tesla and Disney. Mm. And when you listen to Tchaikovsky music, it activates DNA codes inside of you that help you activate your own potential.
Oh.
And it's interesting that Disney, one of his most famous movies, Fantasia, is Tchaikovsky music.
Oh, and, that's interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I saw the Greys. I met the Greys in Roswell, New Mexico.
Yeah.
That was in 2016. And they gave me information about the hybridization program. And also that there are billions of these little embryos of these hybrid babies. And there are millions of people, human beings that are involved. And they're just kind of being kept in case we just kill ourselves off. They're not saying that's going to happen. We still have freedom of choice. But in case that happens, then this planet will be reseeded, so to speak, with these hybrid entities.
Like, I'm sure it's been reseeded a few times before us.
Yes, Joe.
Yeah, definitely.
It has, yeah.
So that's interesting. Ah, that is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You help people go through all these experiences, don't you? People that have been abducted and things like that. And
yes.
And you have a planet, what's it called? PlanetSev.com.
Yeah, my website is PlanetSev.com. And one of my missions that I love to do is to help experiencers. Mm. And I have a free forum on my website called ET Encounters, where you can write to me in privacy. And you fill out this form, you tell me your story, and I'll write back to you. And we can write back and forth and back and forth. And this is my attempts to help you, to validate you, to let you know that you're not alone. Because I know what it's like to go through this and have no one to talk to. And, you know, the person who helped me the most was Kathleen Martin.
Oh, I think she's lovely. I talked to her.
Oh, my goodness.
I thought she was such a lovely lady. Yeah.
She was so generous. After the second ex, I knew I needed help. But I didn't know who was going to help me. I just knew I needed it. I was going to lose my mind. Mm. And one day I just went to my computer and I said, I have to send a picture of my ex and my story to somebody, but I don't know who. So I heard in my head, MUFON. And I didn't know anything about MUFON. It's the Mutual UFO Network. And I discovered that it's the largest UFO organization in the world. And there was Kathleen Martin on the website. She's the director of Experience Through Research.
Yeah.
And if your listeners don't know, she's also the niece of Betty and Barney Hill, which is like the biggest abduction story. And she's been on TV and she has lots of books. And I wrote her, and she wrote back 2 or 3 days later. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is it. She's the one that's going to help me. And she was so generous with her time. She Skyped with me for an hour and a half, and she validated everything. And we talked about how ET communication happens through the multi-dimensions.
Yeah.
And I said, I asked her, what am I supposed to do with all this information that these beings have given me? Because I see myself in my mind's eye standing on stage talking. Yeah. And she said, Sev, I can't tell you what to do. You have to figure that out.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I'm not going to do anything. And then a couple months went by and I decided to write the book. And then 2 weeks after the book debuted, I heard from AlienCon. And they said, congratulations, you're a guest speaker at AlienCon in Baltimore.
Oh, my God, how exciting.
That was my big coming out, Joe. It was really important to me because I lived in Baltimore for 20 years and I also had a lot of ET contact there and friends and family. So to come out there meant a lot to me, and to stand on that stage and talk to a room full of strangers and tell my story, oh my gosh. Like I get all like goosebumpy just thinking about it and teary-eyed because it was a big moment for me. The moment that I was being the most authentic version of myself that I've ever been. I was like, finally, this is the real me.
Yeah. And you just stood up there. Were you nervous?
I was not nervous.
You
weren't?
Oh, my God.
I was so ready.
Yeah, you were ready then. That means you were really ready to just tell your story. That's fantastic. I'm sure it went down really well.
It did, and it opened so many doors.
Yeah, because I think until you delve into that world of, you know, UFOs and aliens and all these great people that I've been talking to, you know, once you open about it, everybody starts sort of, you realize you're not alone and there's so many people that feel and believe the same as you do. And that's what's, for me, I've always been fascinated about the whole thing. But now I
have you always been open about your beliefs, Jill?
No, not really.
When did you come out then?
Well, when I saw my UFO in Brazil, I would tell everybody, and they say, "Yeah, Joe, what were you on? Were you drunk?" Uh-huh. No, I wasn't. I promise, I wasn't taking anything at all. But now when I talk to people about it, they're much more open, and it's changing in the last few years.
Uh-huh.
It really is changing, and people are talking about their experiences and their beliefs so much better. It's like when you said in your book that we are, there is one in, 60 billion chance, one in 60 billion chance we are alone in the universe. You know, it makes you really, well, I've always thought there's no way we're alone.
And so my proof to me are those red X's. My boyfriend, who's extremely logical, can't come up with any logical reason for those X's.
Yeah.
And I have a conscious memory of a gray standing behind me, and then I get 2 X's on my butt. And I don't know what would burn 2 X's in my butt.
No, nor do I. Unless your boyfriend's in the night drawing it with a felt tip.
Or branding me.
Yeah, brand you. She's mine.
I would have felt it, though. Like, yeah, I didn't even feel
you
these.
You would have felt it.
I've had other marks on my body, like chunks of skin cut out that I never felt.
Yeah. No, I definitely think that's, that the entity's doing that to you. I am without 100%. Why do you think that they are marking you and taking bits of your skin? Well, I suppose the skin's got to be for, you know, look at your DNA and things like that. Maybe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So why is it that they burned two X's in my butt? I firmly believe that that's what it took to get my attention, because they were talking to me for decades.
Yeah.
And they were cutting, you know, chunks of skin out of my body for decades, and I was ignoring them. And they were probably like, what the hell can we do to this girl to make her notice? They were like, oh, let's burn two X's into her butt. And that got me to admit that this is real. I really believe that I am here to talk about this and to help other people who are going through this that might be afraid to admit it.
Yeah.
And there's this huge momentum, you know, the big reveal. There's a huge momentum, and Earth's in a big transformation, and you're part of it, Joe. And
We're part of it, Seb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I believe that they had to do something drastic so that I would speak out.
Yeah. And then, of course, Kathleen would have reassured you so great that, you know, it was right what you were feeling and experiencing.
Yes. Yeah. And then she honored me by endorsing my book. My book, You Have the Right to Talk to Aliens, which is available on Amazon. She endorsed it, and she wrote something so nice on the back. She read the whole thing. And she's still like an angel to me when it comes to how far I've come emotionally and spiritually on this path of admitting the truth about what's going on.
Yeah, because I think it must be very hard to just hide what's going on and not confront it and say,
yeah.
This, I know, yeah, by confronting it and being free with it, you are better yourself, yeah.
Well, yes, because now that I'm expressing my true self, my life has completely changed. I'm much happier. And before, yeah. I was really living in a disguise. I wasn't expressing my authenticity. And your reality reflects that. When you're not expressing your authenticity, your life shows it. There's struggles, there's problems, and there's unhappiness, and you feel powerless. But once you start admitting who you really are and expressing the real you, that completely changes. You feel like you're in control, and your reality reflects it, and you're much happier.
So do you do counseling to people that have gone through things they can't explain? Yeah.
Yes, I do. I have soul sessions, and I work with people who have not had ET contact and with people who have. Yeah. So in my soul sessions, they're intuitive readings. I've been doing it for 10 years, and I help people discover their purpose and how to activate it. Also to discover what some mind blocks are that are just preventing them from success or from advancement, and help people have better relationships. There's many things, and this is very rewarding. And in the past couple of years now, I've added on helping experiencers.
That's interesting. And you said something about entities gave you information on hybrids. What is that?
Well, Roswell, when I met them in Roswell, that was in 2016, and a couple of years prior to that, I had a memory of standing in a dark room, and I was standing in front of this tube. The tube was about as tall as I am and as about as wide as I am. I have a drawing of it in the book, and there was a baby floating in the tube.
Oh.
And its eyes were open, and it was the bluest eyes I have ever seen. And I'm staring at this baby, and I'm like, why am I staring at this baby? And then I felt something behind me, so I turn around, and there were three grays, tall, medium, and short. Yeah. And they were nice. And they said, take your time. We're giving you your space. You know, just take all the time you need. And I turn around, I'm looking at this baby, and I'm like, I have no idea what this is about. I felt nothing for it. Well, fast forward a few years later, and I meet the Greys again in Roswell. And they tell me they were showing me the hybridization program. Mm-hmm. And they said that the reason that There's all kinds of hybridization programs. The one that I'm talking about right now, the information that was given to me was between the grays and the humans, because there's other programs too with other beings. So between the grays and the humans, they told me what they're looking for is our DNA that allows a being to express sympathy and empathy and love and emotion, because that's been bred out of them.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. So they want some of that.
They want a lot of it.
Oh,
and
they
so
want a
these
lot.
Hybrids are filled with love and empathy and sympathy. And they realize that if a species doesn't have sympathy or empathy, it could die off very quickly. And that's what's happening to them. So they decided to have this hybridization program with humans who can very, very easily express emotion and love very easily. Yeah. And they're also looking to hybridize with people who have, not always, but sometimes amped up paranormal abilities.
Oh, that is interesting. I can imagine that if you don't have any empathy and love, you would want it, and you would want your future generations to have it, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Because I always wondered what they were wanting from humans.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's
it. And have you interviewed anyone that's seen their hybrid child?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay. Because I've heard people talk about seeing their hybrid children, and they almost always say they have these big, huge blue eyes and that the kids are very loving. Uh-huh. And do you know who reminds me of a hybrid and could be a hybrid, Joe?
Who?
Is that very sweet little Swedish girl that's talking about the climate change?
Yes. She has got the guts of a lion. She's fantastic. Greta Thunberg, that's her name.
Yeah, she's extraordinary.
She is absolutely extraordinary. I wouldn't be surprised there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, well, when I first looked at her, I'm like, oh my gosh, this little girl is a hybrid. And she has Asperger's, and we've labeled a lot of these children with these horrible names. Mm. And I think that's just indicative of we all have ET DNA. And some of us have activated that DNA more than others. And I believe that her ET DNA has really been activated to a high level. And that's what makes her slightly different.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And she's here to change the world. One little girl there standing there, not afraid. And it's fantastic.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Because, you know, who's going to talk back to a little girl, or who's going to shut down a little girl? Nobody.
Nobody.
So we give her free rein to say what she wants. Yeah. And it's like she makes you cry. I mean, she's so eloquent.
Did you see how as Trump walked past her?
Yeah.
I stood there and went, go, girl. Go, girl.
You are fabulous. She's shooting lasers out of her eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's been really nice talking to you. Do you want me to tell me anything else at all? What's next? What's next up for you?
Oh, next up for me is, I've created this event called The Universe Speaks, Talks to Empower You.
Yeah.
And the first one is on September 28th. And it's this symposium of speakers that are in the world of research dealing with consciousness and our quantum reality and ET investigation and research, because we don't have anything like that on the East Coast. There's a lot of stuff like that on the West Coast in the United States, but not much like that on the East Coast. So I started that, and you can get information on my website, planetsev.com, and my YouTube channel, where I have videos, Alien Spirit TV.
I'm definitely going to watch that.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. So you're busy. You're really busy.
I am, and I'm loving it, and I'm welcoming more opportunities to talk at conferences. I really love it, so I'm just putting that out there. If anyone has a conference and would like a speaker.
Yeah, well,
I would love to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of things are happening for you too, huh, Joe?
Yeah, a lot of things.
I know, it feels good.
I'm moving. Moving to the country.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? I moved to the country too. Yeah. And who knows? On your second night there, you might have a red X burned on your butt too.
I'm sure it'd be my boyfriend. I'm sure. Sort of thing he would do. Keep me happy. I've been visited finally, I'd say. Sev, it was so lovely to talk to you. Thank you ever so much for doing this.
Oh, thank you, Joy. It was a pleasure to talk to you and to your listeners.
Yes. You can get your book on Amazon, yes?
Yes.
Great.
You have the right to talk to aliens.
Yes. Okay. And I'm going to get down to reading it all this weekend coming.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Sev.
Pleasure.
That's our show for today. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please rate us on whatever platform you get your podcast from. It helps people like you find us. Today's show was produced by Mike Hansen for Pod People Productions. Associate producer Colette Cooper and recorded at Hackenbacker Studios by Jamie Allen. Theme music by Mike Hansen and Jamie Allen. Special thanks to Nigel Heath and our narrator, Mike Hansen Sr. If you want to share your stories, we'd love to hear from you. Just email info@podpeopleproductions.co.uk, subject matter, Alien Nation. Beam me up next time. I'm Joe Wood. And I believe.